It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day. You have made it. We are walking through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. We're at the middle of the week. We're just continuing on, so happy Wednesday to all of you. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcasts of the show and their show recaps are there, as well as our writer circle. We have some really amazing op-eds that are being published there as well. And so today, in the third and fourth segment, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management will be joining me. And if you have a stock, now it has to be a stock that's on the NASDAQ or on one of the exchanges, and you have a question about how it's been doing, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and Jason will break that down for you. And be sure and check out my website also. We started something as this COVID-19 thing began, and it's Headlines for Hope. And yesterday's story, I highlighted Audie Murphy. And Audie Murphy was a movie star, but he was actually the most decorated U.S. soldier in World War II. And Steve, when we recorded that yesterday, were you aware of all of that about Audie Murphy?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I know the name. It obviously is probably more of my parents' generation. But those types of details, I did not know.
Yeah, it's pretty inspirational. He grew up very poor, was the son of Texas sharecroppers. And he went on to, like I mentioned, just he was the most decorated World War II soldier, got several Purple Hearts. He was just a really interesting story. So check that out. In this segment, we'll be talking with Juliana Day. She's working with a group that is bringing forth information to push back on this COVID-19. They're going to have a virtual event on Friday evening. And so she's going to invite us to that and explain that. And then Matthew Durkin will talk about how important it is to be keeping our community safe. He is running for Jefferson County DA. And then, of course, Jason McBride in the third and fourth segment. As we look at these issues, we have to put our thinking caps on and go back to what Rudyard Kipling said. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we've seen all kinds of force. We've seen people, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, and also people, you know, ratting on their neighbors. It's all coming down to force. And Tom Goodfellow had mentioned maybe we should say freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. So it seems that fear and force have been working together. And we need to, as we walk through this, keep our eye on that and then make sure that government gets put back into the proper box that it's supposed to be in. And remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force or fear. And that's whether with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. As always, like to say thank you to the great team I work with, and that's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, you're valued, you're treasured, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And so our quote for today is from Audie Murphy, and he was an American soldier, actor, songwriter, and rancher. He was one of the most decorated American combat soldiers of World War II. He received every military combat award for valor available from the U.S. Army, as well as French and Belgian awards for heroism. Murphy received the Medal of Honor for valor that he demonstrated at the age of 19 for single-handedly holding off a company of German soldiers for an hour at the Colmar Pocket in France in January of 1945, then leading a successful counterattack while wounded and out of ammunition. He died in a plane crash in 1971 at the age of 45. He says, the true meaning of America, you ask? It's in a Texas rodeo, in a policeman's badge, in the sound of laughing children, in a political rally, in a newspaper, in all these things and many more you'll find America. In all these things you'll find freedom. And freedom is what America means to the world and to me. That's Audie Murphy. Beautiful quote, Steve.
It is. Excuse me. It is. And, man, we're losing the view of those things, so it's very nice to be reminded.
Well, and we have a responsibility now. He stepped up at his age to stand against tyranny and evil, and we have to do that now. It is now our turn, and we were made for this moment, Steve. So let's go over to a little levity, though. As you probably all know, Obama finally announced that he was endorsing Joe Biden.
When yes, Joe was told, but look at the timing. Only when nobody else was left.
Yes. And when Joe was told of the endorsement, Joe said that he was sure that Obama would be endorsing him very soon. Okay, let's go ahead and jump on in here to some headlines. And first, Patty has put together, we have so much information here, but we're going to go to this first thing. There's a lot of chatter right now on social media. It's for the last few days. People want to get back to work, and they're looking forward to reopening Colorado. And so there's been a call of action for people today to meet. And the economic devastation of shutting down businesses because of our political class deemed them non-essential has ruined lives and destroyed dreams, even as that same political class has treated other businesses with favor, often without rhyme or reason. So people are asking others to meet at 1 p.m. today in the parking lot of a business they believe is essential to them or that government mandated or confiscated or closed them, such as Hobby Lobby. This will show support for all businesses and especially those viciously harmed by the overreach of the last few months. Signs supporting small businesses and reopening Colorado for the same are welcome. And with that, that's a great segue into Juliana Day is on the line. And she is organizing an event for Friday evening. Juliana Day, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for the invitation. And on that note, yeah, with the situation we're living in these days, I would like to invite your listeners to a special event on Facebook. We are going to talk about the impact of the coronavirus on our communities, churches, and people's health. It's going to be live. So you can send your questions to the speakers, and we're having Dr. Lisa Van Bramer, a trained emergency medicine physician. We're going to have also Steve House, who has over 30 years of experience in the healthcare industry, and he's also a candidate for Colorado Congressional District 6. And I also invited Richard Harris, who is a director of Truth and Liberty Coalition, and he's an attorney for Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College. So mark your days. It's going to be this Friday, April 17th at 6 p.m. And you can find more information at houseforcolorado.com on the Facebook page, House for Colorado. And also there's another Facebook page, and it's Colorado Coronavirus /forward, share your story to create solutions. Or you can always call me at my cell phone number, 720-899-0897. Remember, it's this Friday at 6 p.m., and it's going to be live, Facebook Live. We're going to be posting all the information today. And at houseforcolorado.com, House for Colorado Facebook page, and also at Colorado Coronavirus /forward, share your story to create solutions Facebook page. And and also, if you allow me, I can provide your listeners with an update of the Initiative 120 against late-term abortion.
You were reading my mind. That was the next question.
Okay, perfect. So on April 3rd, I received a letter from the Secretary of State Office indicating that we need to collect almost 10,000 additional valid signatures to put the initiative on the November ballot. So I estimate that we need to double that number to make sure we have enough to close the gap. So I'm confident that we can do this. So if you wonder how we're going to do it under these conditions, and well, I was also granted by the Denver District Court judge an emergency stay that will allow us to gather petition signatures after the state of Colorado lifts its statewide emergency stay-at-home order due to the COVID-19. So technically, with a governor's extension of this order until April 26th, we can gather signatures on April 27th. So we can start on the April 27th, unless anything changes, of course. But I always ask everybody to wait until we say, yes, go, just to confirm the date, because many things can change, right? But our precious babies, please, our unborn babies are counting on us to be our voices. So go to doodate.com and sign up to become a volunteer. So just carry a petition. It's only 40 signatures to do it. So don't forget two things: sign doodate2late.com to become a volunteer to carry a petition, and also get information about our special event that is going to be this Friday, April 17th at 6 o'clock, and you can get more information at houseforcolorado.com, Facebook page House for Colorado, or the Facebook page Colorado Coronavirus /forward. Share your story to create solutions. Or, like always, feel free to call me at 720-899-0897.
Okay, Juliana, just a quick question. Thank you for all of this that you are doing. But regarding Initiative 20 or 120, right? That is, it's also known as Due Date Too Late. And that is, a lot of people have not realized that in Colorado, you can actually have abortions right up to the day of delivery. And that seems pretty cruel to me. And so this is basically saying that after 22 weeks, we will no longer have abortions here in Colorado. Is that correct? Do I have that, all those details correct?
Yes. The Initiative 120 is to ban late-term abortion after 22 weeks, when the baby is viable, when the baby feels pain. So this is something very reasonable. We can agree that is too extreme, and just to have an abortion when the baby is 5.5 months, pretty much. And the initiative also indicates that the mother, the future mother, is not going to be penalized. So women are not going to criminalize with having an abortion, and under Initiative 120. So please, and this is something that we can pass. Already gather signatures from people that are pro-life and pro-choice, men and women, Democrats, Republicans, independents. They are already signed the petition. But so just to collect an additional 10,000 signatures, we can do it. If you carry one petition, it's only 40 signatures, we can do it. And this is going to take place after the stay-at-home order is lifted. So late term is we can ban it in the state. Colorado is one in only 7 states in the entire United States that allows this abortion until the moment of birth. And a lot of people, it's been very surprising to me, because people in the state have no idea that this is happening. They always take for granted that there are some restrictions in our state, and that's not the case. Colorado is one of the most radical states in the entire country that allows this type of procedure, especially the baby just have all the physical structures to feel pain, and sometimes even more intensely, because it hasn't developed all the neurotransmitters and to stop that pain or to reduce that pain like when you are an adult. So please, we can do this. Sign up to doodate2late.com and become a volunteer.
Well, and on that note, you know, we have, because of this coronavirus, basically shut down the economies of the world. And as of yesterday, let me get to this, there had been in Colorado just about 8,000 cases, 329 deaths that have been attributed to COVID-19. In the U.S., there's been just under 600,000 cases reported, and deaths are just about 26,000. And we do compare that with flu deaths, is estimated each year to be anywhere from 24,000 to 68,000. But looking at headlines right now, according to WHO, which the World Health Organization, which Trump yesterday said that he was going to defund our portion of that at this particular point in time because of their, kind of their lack of doing the appropriate thing, not doing their job. Let's just put it that way. The World Health Organization says that every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions, and that corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions per day. And so here we've got people wearing masks and scared to death because of this coronavirus, but yet here we are aborting complete generations of children, and I don't think people have really realized that. And so, Juliana Day, thank you for stepping up to the plate and going to work to ban late-term abortions here in Colorado. And, if we care so much about all of us regarding this COVID-19 thing, it's absolutely, it's so important to care about the unborn because they are the most vulnerable with us, and we need to have voices that stand up for them. So, Juliana Day, thank you for your work on that.
No, thank you so much. And, we are the voices of those unborn babies. So please, we care so much about women and children, and just join us on this fight. We can ban late-term abortion in our state once and for all. So don't forget, go to doday.com and register, sign up to become a volunteer. We can do this together.
Most definitely. And one other thing, it's not just women and children that we care about. We care about men as well, because abortion affects men as well. So we care about our fellow human beings on this. So Juliana Day, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kim.
We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, be sure and check out Hooters Restaurants at order.hooters.com. You can order your wings to go. You can stop by and pick them up. You can have them delivered right to your front door via one of the services. It's quite a time right now for our restaurants and our taverns and our bars. And so would highly recommend that you get Hooters takeout one of these nights. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Matthew Durkin. He's a candidate for Jefferson County DA. And during this time, we're starting to see an increase in crime because here in Colorado, we're letting some of our criminals out of jail. And then I hope they're not making room for putting people in jail that aren't wearing masks. But anyway, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Matt Durkin.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And go over to Facebook. We are posting all kinds of important information, and we'd appreciate it if you'd like us there as well. On the line with me is Matthew Durkin. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. And I had mentioned this in the first segment. The Reporter Herald has mentioned that 52 inmates were released early from Colorado prisons as officials are trying to create space in case of coronavirus outbreaks. And so we're actually releasing criminals. And it's also a kind of a, you know, it's such a crazy time here in Colorado with the lockdown on everything. And Matthew Durkin, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Great to be here.
And are you seeing an increase in crime now, like some of these things like car thefts, things like that? Is that starting to happen here in Colorado?
Absolutely. We have seen an increase in crime since we have all been locked in. By Governor Polis's order. There's recent reports that automotive vehicle thefts are up 30%, both in the Denver metro area and in Colorado. In Boulder, they reported that they had 79 burglary reports in the last couple of weeks compared to just 28 in the same time period last year. And what's really frightening about that is that 62% of those burglary reports were when people were in their homes. So people are trying to break into their homes while they were there, which is very, very frightening. But really what is most troubling is we're seeing a dramatic increase in domestic violence.
So what should we do about this, Matthew Durkin?
Well, I think this is it's very sad that we're having this crime surge in the midst of this crisis. And so there's a lot of things that we can do. But first and foremost, I think this is a great opportunity to see just kind of what the progressive and the radical extreme agenda is trying to accomplish by emptying jails and prisons and basically shutting those doors, which is really their goal, is to dismantle the criminal justice system. This is the result of that. This is a real-time live example of the consequences of that type of extreme agenda. So this is a great opportunity for us to know that and then to resurrect public safety here in Colorado. As we begin to heal from this virus, and we are winning this battle against this virus, when we come out of our homes, we can stand for public safety. So let's resurrect public safety in Colorado.
Now, Matthew, I think our police officers, many of them are being put in a very difficult situation because on the one hand, we are releasing criminals, we're having an increase in car thefts and in burglaries, but yet then we're also seeing that police officers throughout, maybe not here in Colorado, but I just saw Candace Owens, she had tweeted that she was at her local grocery store and police officers came over to her because somebody said that she and her husband did not have on face masks. And so this, I think, is putting our police officers in a really difficult situation. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. My heart goes out to the police officers every day and what they do each and every day dealing with everyone who, you know, they hit everyone on their worst day. And they're trying to do the best that they can. And they have a sworn duty to protect the community, but also to enforce the laws. And so when we have governmental overreach, well, you're placing police in a very difficult position of having to enforce that overreach, even though they may not want to do that because they have other things to deal with. They have crimes, burglaries, and obviously violent crimes to handle. So we're putting them in a completely impossible position.
Well, and to that point, on this overreach, and we're moving over here to the citizen, when we have overreach of government, it is our duty as citizens to elect people that will uphold the law, but also that we elect people that will not use their power to overstep really the vision of the Declaration of Independence. So let's move back over here to some of the other things that you have mentioned regarding like this COVID-19. I know there's concerns about prisoners in jail and, you know, how close they are. So how is that being addressed, Matt? How can we address that without letting criminals out of jail and prisons?
Well, what we've done since the outbreak was to really take a look at our jail populations and take a second look at those and make sure we have people in jail that we need to be in jail. And so from Arapahoe County to Boulder County to Jefferson County, in jails across Colorado, we have reduced those populations. But the district attorneys have been fighting tooth and nail to make sure that we review each and every one of those cases and make sure, at least from our perspective, that public safety is not compromised. And despite many of our objections, many dangerous folks have been released from jail on PR bonds. And we have begun to see many of those people drift back into jail on new violations, which is no surprise. And many of those include domestic violence perpetrators.
Okay, and so you have been actually reducing the population, you're saying, from a DA standpoint, but you're looking at each individual case to make sure that you're not releasing people into the community that you think could be a real danger. Am I hearing that correctly, Matt Durkin?
That's exactly right. And so the DAs are standing firm, mm-hmm. and we are committed to public safety, and even in a time of crisis, and even more so in a time of crisis, we need to be very, very committed to public safety. We can't just wave away crimes. We can't just pretend they don't exist in the face of crisis, because what that will cause is the crime statistics we've already talked about. We're going to have people who have no resources when they are released from jail, and they go on to try to burglarize people's homes.
Okay. And Steve, you had a question, right? Or a comment?
Well, something that Matt had said earlier. Matt knows that, you know, my son works for Jeff Goh. He's a deputy. And as this situation evolved in terms of the COVID-19 thing, I was worried about what this situation would put him in. And Matt already said something about when there's this huge overreach, it's up to the police to do the enforcement. Let's go back to last week when that video first surfaced of the police officers up north in one of the B towns, Brighton, Broomfield.
Brighton.
And we all saw the video. I had heard, and this is not a fact, that video was shot by the police officer's supervisor. Now, what kind of setup was that? And I don't know. I don't know all the details, but let's assume that those officers just didn't happen to come down the street and say, oh, there's some people in the park, we better go deal with this, that it might have had a more nefarious, setup.
You know, I don't know the details of that event, but what I can assure you is that those police officers had probably a million other better things to do than talk to people about playing in the park. And I know that they probably did not want to be there any more than anybody else.
Okay. Well, Matt, we're just out of time here. Matthew Durkin, who is running for Jefferson County DA. But a couple of things, and that is that when we have PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interest parties that are overstepping their reach, it puts our police officers in a very difficult situation. It puts our citizens in a difficult situation as well. So these DA races are really, really important. So, Matthew Durkin, how can people get more information and help you?
Well, go to our revamped and remodeled website. As we've been in quarantine, we've been busy remodeling our website. So please go to durkinforda.com. That is durkinforda.com. And there you can learn more about our campaign. Please volunteer. And I know times are tough, but contribute any amount that you can, $5, $10, $50. Anything will help win this election.
Okay, Matthew Durkin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great day.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, you know him, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. He is my guest today. You are probably wondering where he is. So he's going to be in segments 3 and 4. We'll talk about some market reactions during virus emergencies. And also, if you have a specific question about a stock that's either NASDAQ or traded on one of the exchanges, Jason will be able to look that up for you as well. So this is Kim Munson. We will be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Monson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. On the line with me is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. And Presidential Wealth Management and Jason are valued partners of mine. And Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me for a whole half hour, Kim.
I know. And normally we get to do this in studio, but this is a virtual in studio today because of all this crazy stuff going on. So welcome. There's a lot of questions about the stock market and how it reacts to virus emergencies. And you put together some information about that. Go ahead and highlight that with our listeners on what you have been able to uncover here.
Well, Kim, every time we get one of these things, it's different, and the market reacts differently. But there's been a couple of times in the past when we've had virus outbreaks, and the market has been down at the same time. Although the more I look at it, Kim, I got to tell you, during some of these times, the market was already kind of behaving poorly, so I'm not sure that the virus outbreak had a whole lot to do with it, and we'll cover that. But for example, Kim, you probably remember SARS when that broke out, and that's a very similar virus to the corona. That was back in early 2003. During the time of the outbreak, which was a little bit over a month and a half or 2 months worth of concerns, the S&P was down about 13%. But you know, Kim, during that time, the market was still, it was kind of already in a bear market. And I look at the chart, I don't see any big drop or reaction in the markets that would feel like it was really related to this. So I don't know that we can attribute that sell-off completely just to the SARS virus at that time. So I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it. I've looked through like when the bird flu hit, MERS, Zika. The market went down during all of those. But for example, Kim, Zika was from like November of 15 to February of 2016. Well, during that time, the market had sold off very, very hard already. I mean, it wasn't like it was selling off because of the Zika virus, so it may be a coincidence. So the only one that I remember, yes, I was in this business at this earliest one in 2003, was when we had the Ebola scare in late 2013, early 2014. I think that did directly affect the market, and it was down, maybe about 6% through the whole thing.
Okay, so what about the COVID-19? Where are we at on that now?
Well, now this market sell-off is without a doubt completely contributed to Corona, which has gone from basically January of this year. The first real day, Kim, that the market, in my opinion, reacted to this was February 24th. I mean, it had kind of gone back and forth. It actually made some new highs, but I think when you look at February 24th, that was the first day that we had a big break downward due to fears about this virus, and the market never looked back from that first big down day. But at the bottom, off of the sell-off, the markets, as far as kind of the average of the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P, were down about 34%. Right now, we're 15% off the high on the S&P, so we've seen a little bit of a bounce back. Your small caps, I separate them out because they act a little different. So the Russell 2000 at the bottom of this sell-off so far, we're down 41%. They've now recovered and are about 26% off the high. But, Kim, one of the interesting things that came out of this is the number of mentions in the media that we saw through all of these different occurrences. So SARS, which, yeah, that was a pretty serious virus. I mean, the infection rate was, about 2.8, apparently, which means every person that got it had the opportunity to infect 2.8 other people, and the fatality rate on SARS was 20%. Now, that's much more frightening to me than this thing we have now. And during the entire outbreak of SARS, we had 66 million mentions of it in the media. And that sounds like an awful lot, Kim, doesn't it? 66 million times
does,
you talk
yeah.
about something. I mean, that's that's about how many times Melissa has to tell me to do something on her honeydew list before it gets through.
And take the trash out, huh?
That's right. That's right. But here's some others. When MERS broke out, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, 33 million mentions. Now, Ebola. Now, that was kind of a real scare. I mean, we didn't get a big spread of it or anything, but you would think that would have got a lot more play. It did not. 16 million. That was it. 16 million mentions on a disease that has a 50% or higher fatality rate. Now, coronavirus, I don't know if you're ready for this, 3.4 billion mentions in the media. And that hasn't been updated at the source that I'm using since about, I think, March 13th. So it's probably a heck of a lot more by now.
It's
but that is an amazing amount of mentions in the media for this compared to what we've seen with these past outbreaks.
And so it makes you wonder if they have people just scared to death, and that's all you hear about is coronavirus. And so that many mentions, it certainly does have an effect. It shut down the economy, and people, are walking around with masks and not shaking hands, all kinds of stuff. But one other thing, while you have this many media mentions, Jason, Patty had located a couple of other things that I don't think people even realized. And this was Fox News. A Chinese aircraft carrier sails past Taiwan as the U.S. Navy struggles with coronavirus. So I think that's kind of important, but did you hear that? And one other thing, a couple of days ago, this is from military.com, North Korea fired a barrage of missiles from ground to air. And so while we are over here wondering whether or not we can survive if we don't have a mask on, it looks like there might be some things that we should also have in the news in addition to the 3.4 billion media mentions on coronavirus. What do you think, Jason?
Well, those things, I heard those too, not anywhere near as loudly as the coronavirus, but, speaking of the media, why are they advertising, all over the face of the planet as much as they can, that one of our aircraft carriers, a huge one, is docked in Guam, I think it is, and a whole bunch of the soldiers on there are sick? That's one thing, and I know this is off the subject, Kim. Why does the media always love to advertise to the world any possible weakness in our military or our defense capabilities?
That is a very good question, while also scaring the living daylights out of everyday people regarding 3.4 billion mentions on coronavirus. Good question, Jason McBride.
Yeah, very good question.
And I think that's and that brings up the subject of experts. You know what? It says we've heard a lot of so-called experts saying the market's going to go down again from here and then retest the lows and make new lows. What do you think?
Well, you know what, Kim? Here's the thing. I mean, it's obvious that the economic numbers and a lot of the earnings numbers are probably not going to be really pretty for the first quarter. We've already saw some of the reporting start on some of the bank stocks. And, you know, it's likely to not be very pretty for the second quarter either, which ends at the end of June. But here's the thing. You're right. You have a lot of experts saying, oh, the market is going to go back down. It's going to retest the lows. It's going to break below the lows. And that's certainly possible, Kim. But I kind of feel like they just are trying to jawbone the prices lower so they can buy, because we got a pretty rapid bounce. You always feel like, darn, I didn't buy enough when it was cheap and it moved up quickly. But I don't have the ability to go jawbone and try to push the market lower just so I can buy in really cheap. And you know, some of these guys are really awful, Kim. Some of them that they keep putting on the cable shows or the business or stock market shows over and over, like this Ackman guy. There's another one, this Kyle Bass guy. You know, they're shameless. I mean, these are a couple of guys that have become, the purveyor of what's called a public short sale. And I don't know if you've heard of that term. I mean, you know what selling a stock short is, Kim, of course, because you were a trader, right? So if I have a stock, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was a trading assistant, so I bet I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
So, yeah, if I'm going to sell short, if I think the price of a stock is going to go down, you can sell the shares at the high price, and then if you're correct and the price of the stock drops and you buy it back lower, you make a profit. It's just the opposite of buy first and sell second. And there's procedures you have to do. You have to be able to borrow the shares and that type of thing. And I have nothing against short selling per se. I mean, if you think a stock's going to go down and you want to place your bet that way, that's fine. But you got guys like this Ackman fellow and this Kyle Bass that they don't do the research. They don't, what they're doing is they sell a stock short, and then they get all over the TV, all over the internet, anywhere they can, and they completely trash the company. They hired media to bash the company and try to knock the share price down on purpose. In fact, their intent is to bankrupt the company and make the biggest profit possible. Well, Kim, I don't have much respect for that. I mean, somebody that does research, sells a stock short, their thoughts turn out to be correct, and they make a profit, that's one thing. What these guys are doing is the equivalent of betting against a team in a football game and then sending guys out to kneecap the quarterback, and purposely destroy the team so they can't win. And I mean, that doesn't take any skill. It doesn't take any brains. They're just doing a hit job on these companies to try to actually destroy the entire company so they can make money. So those guys are the worst of all of them.
Wow. Yes. It's kind of like manipulating the market and selling short and going out in the media and manipulating the market on that, or manipulating the price of the stock. Jason, let's go to break. We've got a lot of information that we'd like to go over. But you had mentioned that if people wanted to find out about a particular stock, that you would give us information on that. So I had texted you three different stocks that somebody's asking about. So that should be on your on your phone.
And then also,
I'd like to know about Walmart. And then Patty said that Tesla has been doing very well. And I always struggle with Tesla because they get all kinds of government favors and government policy favors. But so let's talk about those five stocks when we come back. This is Kim Munson. On the line with me is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. We'll be right back.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim at kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook. We put a lot of great information up there, and we'd appreciate it if you would give us a like. So on the line with me is Jason McBride, and he and his colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are valued partners of mine. And if you would like more information or just some help on something, you can check out airpresidential.com. That's A-I-R presidential.com. And Jason, I know that you have put together some information regarding this new CARE Act. And if people want that, they can just go to airpresidential.com and you'll email that to them, right?
Yes, that's correct. And there's a lot of good info in there, especially about IRA and 401k accounts and required minimum distributions for this year and what to do if you already took it and didn't want to. So it's something that, you know, would apply to a great many people possibly.
Yeah, okay, so would highly recommend if you want more information. You know, and knowledge is power. To know what's going on is so important. It's pretty complicated. Jason, you've been in the business for a long time. You've seen a lot of different things. So if people would like some help on their portfolio or just to talk with someone, you and the guys and gals at Presidential would certainly be the people to talk to about that. But you'd mentioned that you would give us information about some of these different stocks. And so we have five that we would like to ask you about. So which one would you like to start with?
Well, I don't think we'll make it through five. So I know you wanted to know about Walmart, Kim. And, yes. You know, you probably own, what, a million shares of that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, you know, Walmart, before this all occurred, the stock was just kind of going sideways. The earnings estimates were pretty decent. Now, of course, we've had some big volatility in Walmart since this whole thing started. Before this hit, the stock was at around 115 or so. At one point, Walmart was down about 14% off the highs. Right now, it holds one of the award of being one of the few stocks on the market that's actually higher than it was when this started. Walmart's up about 9% since February 21st. And, you know, I'll tell you, Kim, I think it's a little bit of a tough call. If you look at what has happened with their earnings before any of this coronavirus garbage started, three out of the last four quarters, their earnings had actually gone down, down 1%, down 2%. October, they were up 7%, but January, they were down 2%. Now, the stock has gotten a boost as a lot of the grocery stores, Costco, Kroger, Walmart's in there too, as a lot of people have panicked and went and, you know, flooded the stores to buy supplies, toilet paper, rubbing alcohol, hand sanitizer, you know, 50 jars of peanut butter, soup, canned food, all that type of thing. Well, I don't believe this panic buying is going to last forever. Walmart, you know, had a couple of big up days the last 2 days, really didn't do it on that strong a volume. I think Walmart's a great company, and long term, I would guess the stock will probably be higher than it is now. But I'll tell you, I might take the opportunity on Walmart right now and sell into this strength and try to re-enter the stock a little bit later as this craziness dies down and reality comes back into the stock price.
Okay, so yeah, 50 jars of peanut butter, that probably did inflate earnings a little bit. Let's go to one of the ones that Christy had asked about. It's SLB, which I don't know what that is, Apple or MIC. Those are the letters of the company on the stock exchange. So which one do you want to take from there?
Well, I'm not sure about MIC. I think she might be asking about Microsoft, so maybe she can email you again and clarify before I start talking about the wrong one. But let's talk about SLB, which that is Schlumberger, is the name of the company, and they are, you know, a provider of support to oil and gas companies as far as drilling and rigs and just about any type of support that you can see on the rigs and that type of thing. You know, Schlumberger stock has been struggling for a while, along with you know, a lot of the other energy stocks. If you look, Schlumberger hit a high all the way back in 2014. Kim, the stock was at like 118 a share, and it's just been slowly grinding lower ever since then. I mean, right before this big mess started, Schlumberger was trading at about $35 a share. You know, again, their earnings had been down in three out of the last four quarters. Now, in December, they were up a little bit, but the stock, you know, has taken a dive from about $33 at the start of this mess. Right now, it's sitting at about $15. So just because it's cheap right now, does that mean that it's a good buy? Not necessarily, because sometimes stocks can get cheaper. You know, the company earned $1.47 a share in 2019. Well, the estimates for this year, Kim, are that they'll earn 66 cents, so less than half. And then 2021 for earnings to drop again down to 43 cents. Now, a lot of that is concerns about the whole energy industry right now because of oil prices and that type of thing. You know, it's possible those estimates could come back up. But I'm not sure I like the way this stock looks right now. It's at $15. I would rather try to buy it a little bit closer to an exit point. So if you could get it, you know, in the 12 somewhere, and then if it starts to break down below like 11.85, 11.80, you can jump back out with only a small loss and have most of your hide intact. I do think Schlumberger eventually would come back and you'd see higher prices than you do now, but you may have so much pain between now and then that you're not able to hold on to a stock like that and realize the gains.
Okay.
So I don't like it right now, I guess.
Okay, well, and you know, the energy sector, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on over there right now. Mm-hmm. Christy did text me. She said it's McQuarrie, McQuarry.
Okay, well, you tell me, do you want to do Apple or do you want to do that one?
Well, do you want to do one of those today and then maybe do the other one tomorrow?
Sure, we could do that. Let's do Apple today, and then I'll do more research on the McQuarrie. Apple, you know, that one has been one of the stocks that has held up pretty darn well through this sell-off. Their earnings were starting to turn around. I mean, you know, Apple went through a little bit of a slow patch there, but September earnings showed a gain, and then the December quarter They actually had a 19% gain in earnings, and for a company that size, Kim, that's a pretty good pop here. So Apple got down as low as 212. Right, it closed yesterday at 287. It actually broke back above its 50-day moving average, which is a good positive sign. I like Apple. I don't feel like the stock right now, I don't think it's overpriced, and I don't think that it's underpriced at this point. So, again, this is one that if we get another little bit of a pullback in prices, I might look to enter it or add a little bit to it if you already own it. But right now, the price of the stock, I feel it's kind of in no man's land here. It's very hard to read. You're not getting it at the absolute low. It's come back up more towards the highs, and I think there's a risk that it could pull back. Again, what's going to happen with their sales to China? I mean, they have a huge part of their business, which is sales to China, and I don't think that's going to look very pretty for the next two quarters. And there may be some permanent changes in that as well. So I think it doesn't look bad, but maybe wait and see is the best approach on that one.
Okay. Jason, we're out of time. I want to make sure people know that we are not, this is not investment advice. And that is our disclaimer on that. So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. And our quote for today is from Audie Murphy. He says, "And freedom is what America means to the world." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. To cry, but